One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Now I'll tell you something else that I believe we need to straighten up in our church, especially our Baptist churches, where we pride ourselves in being a democracy, where everybody has just as much say as anybody else. I used to, till I learned better. I'd say, why, this little child sitting on the front seat has just as much say-so as I do. Fiddle on that. He doesn't either.
Right.
Not if I'm the pastor of that church, I won't turn my church over to a little old kid doesn't know how to wash behind his ears. Not old enough to sleep by himself. Me talk about a little kid operating the church. I guess I won't. Brother, I tell you, it took me a good long while, but I found out after a while, God expected me to know about 50 times as much as anybody in the church or everybody in the church about running the church, because that's my business.
Amen.
And whether the pew likes it or don't like it, every church that ever followed my leadership, and thank God every one of them did, that I've ever had in my life, we had a healthy church.
Amen.
We had a healthy, wholesome, soul-winning, evangelistic church, but we emphasized one thing, and that's evangelism and soul-winning. That's all! It is every year I tried to get my people to be without a breath all the time from running after souls. I still believe that's our main business.
Amen.
And I believe if every preacher in this city and if every Christian would get him a great list, a prayer list of from 25 to 300 lost people and pray over them every day till his heart would break, knock on the doors and go by to see him, and every time he meets a lost man, put his name and address down and said, I'll pray for him till I get him out of hell, till I get him toward heaven, I tell you, we'd have some new churches and we'd have some new spirit. And our people, I tell you, would be different people. God help us. I'd get to come to meetings and we have visitors and guests and church members and have very few lost people that come. I believe we need a new day of going out after lost people and bringing them in and staying with them. You'd say, Brother Roloff, they're hard. Always been hard. First time I ever met the devil, he's hard.
Yeah.
He hadn't softened up any since I've been fighting him. But I tell you what, I've got a sword that'll cut him right square to the middle. I mean, the Word of God will do just what it's always done. It'll jar people loose from their sin, but we got to get them in to hear the gospel. Listen, God said you go and compel them to come in, and I believe that we can get them in. All right? Did I read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18? 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subjects, he said, to your masters with all fear. Don't get off on some wild tangent, you preachers that are here. Let's preach Jesus Christ. Let's get after lost people. Let's not try to be saving America and saving the world. God didn't tell us to save the world. God didn't even tell us to pray for the peace of the world. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And when Jesus Christ comes back to Jerusalem, we're going to have peace. And not before. Say what you will. Some of you folks write me letters now and knock all the bark off of me. But you'll have to put it back on some of these days. Brother, our business as God's people is to carry out Jesus' word of go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Disciples, not disciples of some government, but disciples of Jesus. We're to get them to follow him. All right? Turn with me to the book of Galatians for our last verse of scripture. And I want to show you the connection. Now this shows you how important it is. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Now this ought to just about settle it. Now, if you're going to be gentle, you're going to have in you the Holy Spirit. In 5 and verse 18, we find, in verse 22, we find these words. But the fruit of the Spirit, number one, love, Number two, joy. Number three, peace. Number four, long-suffering. Number five, gentleness. And anybody that's filled with the Spirit of Christ is to have this sweet characteristic of gentleness. You know who used to be the most gentle people in all the world? I guess the old-fashioned mothers. They were the most gentle. And usually it was the mother that had the most children. I mean, I've seen some of them had 10 or 15. And nothing ever got them excited. I mean, if they brought 15 more home with them. I mean, the mother just smiled and said, "Now, isn't that something? I mean, that's wonderful. We're so glad if y'all, son, run out, son, and kill two more chickens." I mean, they just thought that's the grandest thing. I mean, they just didn't get riled. Never. I mean, none of them had any ulcers. None of them were neurotic. I never heard one of those old mothers said, "I tell you, I'm just so nervous I could scream." Huh? Listen. You know, I heard his boy one day, George. And he said, "You know, my dad," and you talk about crowds, "had his own radio station. And you talk about, I mean, everybody either loved him or hated him. I mean, and his disciples would die for him and fight for him. But he had the First Baptist Church there in Fort Worth for so many years. And then in Detroit, you know, my, thousands and thousands and thousands of people heard him preach. But I heard George, after his daddy was dead, say, "My dad, take that old Bible and go down to church," and said, he was just a war horse. He just couldn't hardly wait to get down there to get in it. Said he'd climb up on that platform and said he'd begin to walk up and down, you know, and he'd just get it all out. I mean, he'd just empty out his heart, you know. Oh, listen, said he'd just literally unwind. I mean, he'd call the devil what he was. He'd say anything about any man, living or dead. Didn't make him any difference. He'd be on the radio, wouldn't make him any. And I mean, he'd just unwind, and I mean, he'd just throw a rope around the world and then tighten up on it, you see. And then he'd go home, fall into bed, and just go sound asleep. I mean, it's all out. I mean, he just said it. He said his piece, got it all out. Burden's gone. But oh, he said, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear my old mother still sobbing and weeping, burdened because of what Dad was going through. See? Dear friends, I believe that we need, all of us need more of what she had. That'll send us to our bed sometimes just to be quiet except to sob or to weep. And I don't have enough of it. You don't have enough of it. If I could say it in the right spirit, and I've seen it, I've asked the Lord to let me have this that I'm talking about, the gentleness of Jesus and the sweetness. And not to be so vociferous or so loud or noisy or make so much racket. Dear friends, I believe the Holy Spirit knows how to work on the inside. I believe that you and I need more of the gentleness of Jesus. He said when we're filled with the Spirit. Would you let me give you some of the things about David's life? Number one, he went to the shepherd's school. That's number one. He started out in the Judean hills with a bunch of sheep and goats, cattle. David went to the shepherd's school. Second, he went to the military school. He learned to fight and became the greatest soldier of his day. David had a heart that was as strong as a lion's heart. David longed to see the victory, and he longed to see his men come and go after the war was over and the battle was won. But you know, when David came to the close of the journey, David wanted to count. He wanted to take a census. And he told Joab, he said, "Joab, get out, son, and count them." He said, "I wonder how many we got." Joab said, "Sir, counting them won't make them any more." I mean, it'd just be the same number. I don't mean to be, you know, disobedient. But I tell you what, nobody ever disobeyed David. David said, "You go ahead and do what I tell you to do." Joab said, "I'll do it, but I'm just afraid." And sure enough, the curse of God fell. No, it broke David's heart. David said, "I'm in a strait." He said, "Let me fall into the hands of God, not in the hands of men." He said, "Lord, it's my fault. What can we do? I'll offer a sacrifice." The Lord said, "All right, I'm going to give you a choice. 7 years famine?" You think about that. 7 years famine. "Or 3 months of being pursued by your enemy, or either pestilence." Now David couldn't stand to think about 7 years of famine and all the suffering and the dying and the starving of the cattle and the people and the boys and the girls and the men and the women. He couldn't. He said, that's out. Then he came to that and he said, now, 3 months and 90 days as a soldier, I've got to be run through the bushes by an invading army. He said, Lord, I'd kill me. I can't stand it. I've never run from my enemy. I've never been herded out in defeat. And he said, Lord, he said, you better just give us pestilence. That's what he said. No soldier ever wants to be defeated. And every Christian ought to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that'll help us stand like the gentleness of Jesus. Of course, he lost 70,000 men. 70,000 of his people, and it broke his heart. And he offered, you remember, to buy Araunah's threshing floor. And he said, I wouldn't sacrifice something that didn't cost me anything but the gentleness. He went to the sin school also. David learned more, I guess, at the sin school. He learned about the heartaches. And he went to the seminary of sadness after that. Oh, the years, the years. I noticed, you remember Shimei came along one day and cursed David? I'm talking about the gentleness. Shimei was cursing the king, walking up on the hill, just cursing the king. Looked down there and he was throwing at him. And he was cursing him. And one of those fellows spoke up and said, listen, why don't you just give us permission to take his head off? I'd just be glad to lift his head off his shoulders, cussing my king. David said, no. My own son is trying to kill his daddy now. Why should I go kill a man when I'm in such difficulty? And when my own son, I can't even handle my own son. And I think he was thinking about all the rest. But you know, the gentleness. He was learning all through those years, the gentleness. The old warrior's coming to the end of the trail now. And when he gets through, he didn't say my gentleness. He didn't say my battle. He didn't say my victories. He didn't say my army. He didn't say my great palace. He said, thy gentleness hath made me great. The greatness of God, I believe, can be seen more in the gentleness than it can be in the waving of your fist or fighting or even the victories that you might win openly. I believe the gentleness that takes place on the inside that seasons and sweetens and makes us what we ought to be. But I'm going to show you something else. Did you know that Shimei, after this thing was over and David came back and took over the palace and Absalom was killed, Shimei said, I guess I'm done for now. But you know what he did? He cried for mercy. He cried for mercy. And he said, David, I want you to forgive me, my Lord. And David said, build your house at Jerusalem. Build your house at Jerusalem. You can live in Jerusalem. You can build your house. I'm talking about the gentleness of Jesus. The gentleness of Jesus in his life. The forgiveness that he had. But oh, he had to learn it, I think, from being forgiven by the Lord. But I want to show you something else before I leave David. And you've never heard many times maybe this mentioned. I never have mentioned it in my life. When David, the Bible said, was old and stricken with years, and the circulation was bad, and his body was cold. And I guess this is one of the things that they tried, but oh, the picture of the folly of the flesh. And every man and every woman's going to realize, though you might be a butterfly tonight, and you might have great and vital strength, and you might think that you really are reveling in the flesh, but the day's going to come when that flesh is going to die out. But the gentleness of Jesus will still go on. David's old now, and they said he has no heat in his body. And we wonder if we couldn't sort of excite him by looking across the kingdom. And to me, this is such a picture of the futility of the filthy flesh and the beautiful looks of anybody. And so they found a virgin, a beautiful maid. Oh, the most beautiful girl they could find. And they brought her to David's bed. And that's the way the world tries to give you comfort in the closing days, but you need something besides some little old girl. You need something besides a person when you come to the end of the trail and they're old and well stricken in years. You're going to need the gentleness of Jesus. And they brought Abishag. That's her name. They brought Abishag. And I'd never seen this. I want to show you the folly of it. David was still conscious, and David was looked like willing for them to bring somebody in and try their little old man-made remedy to might to somehow give him life again and to just help him smile again. and give him heed again. But he paid her no attention. All of her overtures and all of her flirtations and all of her eyes and all of her beauty, the flesh is gone. Dead! And if that's what you're living for, you've got some mighty disappointments ahead of you.
Amen.
But I want to show you something. It cost David another son. Did you know it? When he permitted him to bring that little old beautiful girl in, it wasn't long until Adonijah, son of Bathsheba, brother of Solomon, found that his old daddy was dying. So he got him a bunch of men together and said, listen, y'all know that I'm going to be king, don't you? Come on, follow me. And so, boy, they took off down the road, and my, he just got a big horn and sounded it and declared himself king. And they said, God save the king. The word came to David. And David let the priest come. And he said, no, Solomon's to be the king. He got Solomon to go, and they made him the king. And then Adonijah, when they heard everybody shouting, said it made so much racket he could hear it for miles. And so Adonijah came and said to Solomon, Solomon, I'm sorry. He said, I'll be faithful to you. Don't kill me. Solomon said, I won't kill you. I won't kill you. God gave him wisdom and understanding. He said, I'm not going to kill you if you behave yourself. But he said, if you don't behave yourself, your life's not worth 10 cents. That's about what he told him. He said, you're dead. So you know what happened? Just a few days later, Adonijah came to Bathsheba and said, Mother. She said, yes, son. Said, would you do me just a little favor? Well, she said, you know I will. Said, would you go ask Solomon, my brother? Said, you know, really, I ought to be king. He hadn't gotten over it yet. He said, I really ought to be king. Oh, he was taking it hard. But he said, since I'm not king, will you go ask Solomon if he'll give me Abishag for my wife? Oh, that pretty little girl that they brought. And Solomon said, why don't he go ahead and ask the kingdom? And Solomon said, he's had it. He's had it. And he killed him. And the last flirtation and the last little flirt that came to David caused the death of another son. But dear friends, I remind you as I close the message, the gentleness of Jesus is the one thing that will linger with us throughout eternity. I want to show you Jesus just a minute. Where would we go? Perfection, living with imperfection. Have you ever stopped to think that Jesus was perfect and yet he was born of an imperfect mother? He lived with an imperfect stepfather, patience, gentleness. He lived around boys and girls that were ungodly. He lived in a time of religion. Can you imagine Jesus going to the synagogue and seeing the empty religion all until he was 30 years of age, and yet he never did tear down the synagogue. He was gentle. Now, he was meeting with them at the age of 12, but he was instructing them, but he wasn't being mad. Folks, I believe that as God gives us wisdom and gentleness, that we'll be able to rebuke the world in a way that'll please God and help, and it'll capture the confidence. I said to a preacher friend this week, I said, I want to give you some advice. I don't often do this, but I think you can take it. I said, it'd be better to win the people you got in your church instead of run them off. I mean, just win them. I mean, you'll never get one back after you run him off. And I'd like to say to the preachers here tonight, even though it's necessary to be stern, but I don't believe that we ought to rejoice just because we've had a backdoor revival.
Amen.
I believe it ought to grieve our hearts when our people walk out and say, well, somehow the preacher didn't meet my need and I'm still hungry. And I know many times it's their fault, but I believe it's better to win them and to keep them rather than to boot them out. I'm talking about the gentleness of Jesus. Jesus looked up one day after he'd preached a scathing, rather scalding, skinning sermon, and many went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said, will you also go away? Y'all going to leave me too? He didn't want them to leave. Simon Peter spoke up and said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We'll go with thee. We'll stay with thee. Listen, you stay with the man that has the word of life. You stay with the man who preaches the word of God. Talk about patience. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, Jesus saw her coming, dirty, filthy, ungodly, old water pitchers in her hand, hair stringy, such an old terrible sinner. And Jesus sat on the well curb and dealt with her. Cared nothing about criticism, misunderstanding that might come, but he gave her out the message. In the 8th chapter of John, they brought a woman fallen deep in sin, and Jesus exercised his gentleness and told her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Jesus hung on Calvary's cross. I said he hung on Calvary's cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The gentleness of Jesus. We need it in our homes. We need it in our churches today. Strife, jealousy, hard feelings. People don't speak to one another. Choir trouble sometimes. Singer trouble sometimes. Preacher trouble. Deacon trouble. Business meetings trouble. People turn red in the face and say, I'm against it. I don't think... Look out. You better exercise the gentleness of Jesus. Oh, when you injure a church, you might have injured 500 people. Crippled it for years to come. The gentleness of Jesus.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today is David's Final Message. Now, to receive the message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3304. To help us with shipping and handling, we ask for at least $10. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. To use your credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of April is Oh, to Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, asked for offer number 310,
That's 310, and enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is O to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.